Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
As Pastor Monica said, we are on our Heart for the House series. I don't know how many, I haven't really counted, but I feel like I've been here for, 12 of them, or I don't know when we started them. It doesn't really matter when we started, but we're still going because we want to continue to develop inside of us. We want to have a heart attitude that is a healthy attitude. We know that healthy people do healthy things, right? So if you're a healthy person, then the things that you do, the way that you interact with society, we just finished a spheres series as well, the way you interact in your sphere of influence is going to be a healthy interaction. And beyond health, we want godliness in our lives. Health is good. Godliness is the best. And so today I'm going to be talking about having a heart for the God's house. And when we say God's house, just so it's clear, God's house is his church. Okay? So when we're having a heart for God's house, we're having a heart for God's church, and that's something that every Christian is encouraged to have all throughout the scriptures. And so I thought, the topic that I was going to be focusing on today was having a heart of simplicity. In a world that seems to be getting louder and louder, and just I don't know how you feel unless you're highly intentional, but things seem to just bombard us naturally unless you block them, right? All of a sudden, it's like, how am I getting all these notifications? Oh, I didn't block that. How am I getting all these emails? Oh, I didn't block that. We got to work hard to kind of block things. And so hopefully, as individuals and as a church, we can continue to grow and develop in having a heart of simplicity. And that, I believe, is going to be very beneficial for our lives as we're instructed in the scriptures here. And so I'm going to spend the majority of my time not in the full chapter of Philippians 3, but a good chunk of it from verse 1 all the way to 14. So we're going to read through that. And as we read through that, the Apostle Paul is, he's written much of the New Testament, but the Apostle Paul, we're going to discover some things about him, and he's going to give some criteria in here that if you are not familiar, if you are unchurched, it's going to be a foreign language to you. It's simply just not going to make sense. You're going to say, what in the world? Are these band names? Are these like slogans that you're saying here, Paul? Like, what are you saying here? It doesn't make sense. So as I read through the scripture, I will unpack a little bit of what Paul is saying, because it's really important that we understand what he's saying, because it gives so much more weight to the words he says later on. So does that make sense? Okay, yeah. You guys doing okay? Church, you ready for it? God's word. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are a faithful God. As we sang about God, there is nothing about you, God, that shifts. There's nothing about you that changes, God. If you said it, you're going to stand on it forever and ever and ever. And your word is faithful, God. You are faithful. Your ways are faithful, God. So you are the trustworthy one that we come to again. This God, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, the same God of David, the same God that just parted the seas. You are that same God that we pray to today, God. And we devote and give honor to today, God. We devote our lives. And so, God, would your scriptures speak to us today and open our hearts as we pray and as we read in Jesus' name. And a great, awesome church, shout it together. Amen. Okay. So we did the quiet thing and then we did the loud thing. So now then there's people in between. I don't really like either. Okay. All right, let's read for a little bit here. This is Philippians 3, 1 to 14. You can open your Bibles, open the app. They might be up here on the screens as well. Further, my brothers, this is Paul. He's writing to the church in Philippi. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Good way to start. That's always a great way to start. Whatever you're doing, just start with rejoicing, okay? Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. So here we go. This is some stuff that's going to start. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. Okay, what does that go? What does that have to do with things? We'll explain it. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I, Paul, myself have reasons for such confidence. Here's a list of the band names and things that are going on. If someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. Not a great band name. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin? Eh, that could maybe work. A Hebrew of Hebrews? Not very cool, but okay. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. We're going to dive into that just a little bit more to have a better understanding. We'll carry on for now, though. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, now, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a great, great, great piece of scripture for us today, but I do believe it needs a little bit of unpacking just so we can really understand what Paul is saying here. So our focus today, again, is just developing a heart of simplicity. And so we will arrive at that. But first, I want to get some clarity when it comes to Paul and some of these things that he's saying. So basically, he starts out and he says, hey, we got to rejoice. Let's rejoice. And then after that, he dives, he's encouraging us to have a heart, of simplicity, but that's further on. And says, so he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then it says in Philippians 3, 2 to 4, it says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision. So what is he actually saying with that? And because it's kind of like these mutilators of the flesh and like we are the circumcision. So just so we have an understanding, prior to Jesus coming in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. And Moses, if you have ever seen the Ten Commandments, Moses goes up on the mountain and the people, they want to meet with God, but they send Moses. Anyways, he comes down with these Ten Commandments. And God's like, this is how you should live. So the Jewish people take these Ten Commandments and they actually set up, I think there's like 600 plus Levitical laws. They set up all these laws in order to not even get close to breaking the Ten Commandments. There's all these laws. It's called the Mosaic Law, okay? And so what was happening is Paul was a Jew. He grew up in this tradition, and he observed these laws along with all these other Jews. But as Jesus came, he said, I'm doing away with righteousness through the law. And he says, I am the righteousness, and I am the way. And so what's happening is Paul is instructing the church, these first early Christians, he's instructing the church to say, hey, watch out for these guys. When he's talking about mutilators of the flesh, well, and we'll get to this a little bit more, but every boy, every Jewish boy at 8 days old was supposed to be circumcised, and that was a physical sign that he was set apart for God as a Jew and a follower of God. Okay, and so he's saying, watch out for all these other people saying you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. He's saying, you don't have to do those things, okay? He's saying, you don't have to do those things anymore. And he goes on to explain that it's not in the flesh. And then afterwards, he says, though I myself have reason for such confidence. So this is where he goes through in Philippians 3, 2 to 4. This is where he goes through all this criteria. And I think this criteria is, I was going to skip over it, and I was thinking, this is actually really important to understand because, like I said, it gives so much weight to things that he's about to explain later. So in Philippians 3, 2 to 4, he goes through this list. And he says, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, Paul, the Jew, his name was Saul before he had an encounter with Jesus, but So here's Paul. If anyone has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he says, circumcised on the eighth day. So I already explained that's what Jewish boys would do. Okay. This is kind of a cool thing. He's saying, we are the circumcision, the people of faith. We are. That's so when you read that, you're like, what does it mean? I am the circumcision. It's like, it's kind of a weird statement to say, hey, I'm the circumcision. Okay. That's just so you don't need to go around saying that, maybe. But what Paul is saying is like, we are set apart by our faith. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, we Christians who have people who follow God through faith and faith alone, we are the circumcision. We are the ones set apart, okay? So there you go. The next statement he says is of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. And so Paul highlights his ethnic and tribal identity, demonstrating his pure Jewish descent. Being from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, was an honor. Benjamin was also the tribe that gave Israel its first king, which was Saul, so it carried significance. And then he says, Hebrew of Hebrews. This phrase emphasizes Paul's Jewishness, suggesting he was not only born a Jew, but also lived fully within Jewish traditions and customs. So he was like hardcore, like I'm practicing every single thing to the letter of the law. Then he says, as to the law, he was a Pharisee. So the Pharisees, they were a religious group known for their strict adherence to the Mosaic law. They wanted to follow it like they did not want to miss a single thing. They were so ultra religious with everything that they did. And Paul, as a Pharisee, took upon himself the responsibility of studying and obeying the law in meticulous detail. Okay? And just two more statements that he said. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, Paul mentions his past zeal for God. And if you read, you can read through the scriptures what he actually did. He was a savage, actually. He was killing Christians and approved the killing of Christians all over the place. So he had so much zeal. He's like, this Christian movement is not of God, and I'm going to destroy it. I want to physically eliminate it. So he was like hardcore on the like extermination team, which is pretty crazy. And then the final statement, he says, as to righteousness under the law, he was blameless. Paul claims that he followed everything faultlessly to the letter of the law. So why is it important that we understand this? Well, he was literally like the Connor McDavid or like the Simone Biles. Like he was the top of the top. He was the one that everyone was like who's the champ? Who's the best of this? Oh, it's like, oh, it's this person. It's clear that it's this person. Paul was that person. He was the number one draft pick by the longest shot that you could ever imagine when it came to being a Jew and following Jewish traditions, which then gives so much weight to what he says in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9. Look at this. But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. That's a pretty extreme statement from the number one draft pick. He's like, I'm changing teams here. And he's saying, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing, not about Christ, it says, knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I've lost them all. I consider them garbage. These are extreme statements. Once you begin to think, it's like, here's somebody who dedicated his entire, every single second was devoted to following these Mosaic laws and making sure that nothing was out of place. And here he is, he had it wrong the whole time. And it says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So the value that he finds in Christ is, he looks at everything else in his life and it's like, that's garbage. Like, I just throw that right out. That way of life is gone for me, compared to being found in Christ. And so Paul is making it crystal clear that no matter how great you think you are, there is nothing greater or better than knowing Jesus. Not knowing about Jesus, knowing Jesus. And he says, I consider everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus. I've lost all things and I can consider them garbage. So that brings us to a question for ourselves. What in your life, what in my life, am I using to measure my righteousness? I think it's a I think it's a great question, because I think for myself as a Christian of, I guess it'd be 39 years now, I think about it, and it's like I start to sometimes add things to my life where it's like, oh, this makes me righteous. Oh, these things make me righteous. Even, like, and I don't know what it might be for you. It can be a job, a position, accomplishments, education, your heritage, family heritage that you came from, your works and your efforts. It could be those things. I mean, the list can be endless. As, you know, and you hear a person that doesn't follow Jesus, and what do we hear lots of times? Well, I'm a good person. Don't you hear that statement all the time? Well, I don't follow God, but I'm a good person. Newsflash, we are not good people. We're actually really rotten to the core. We really, really are. Our best efforts are like filthy rags, the Bible says, before God. That's really what the Bible defines our best efforts. And so, you know, where do we get our measurement of righteousness from as a Christ follower? And really, Paul's saying, it's knowing Christ and being found in him. That's what he's saying to us today. And after all these accomplishments that Paul had, and he would have worked, like, I couldn't imagine how hard he would have worked. I don't think I have a full comprehension of how much he dedicated every second of his life. And he's just saying, it's garbage, it's worthless. But let me tell you where the treasure is at. It's in knowing Christ, you know? And he was transformed. He acknowledged to God his sin and his failure. He acknowledged it. He surrendered to God through repentance. And then he accepted God's grace and forgiveness through faith, and he was made righteous. And so that's kind of the ground, that's where Paul is writing from, and that's the kind of the foundation that he's building for us, saying, okay, all this stuff is happening, all this stuff is here, but it's worthless. So ultimately, knowing Jesus is the top priority. So, you know, as we spend the rest of our time, I do want to focus on, well, how does this, like, what are the scriptures are teaching us now about having a heart that's full of simplicity? Because this is kind of like the framework of just being able to understand some of these next verses here. So here we go. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. It says, not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, and he's writing to the church, he's encouraging the church, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So he's saying it's faith and faith alone that I come to Christ, but you know what? I haven't fully achieved everything. Like, in Christ, he's given me everything that I need. But he's saying, I do this one thing. And I think this is a great word for us as individuals in this season, but also as a church. You know, we can be scattered in our thinking. We can be pulled many different directions. But Paul is calling the church here in Philippi to one thing. And I believe that that is still a great word for us today. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. So Paul he's saying one thing to us with three instructions. He's saying, we got to forget the past, okay? It's not as if you fully just ignore it. All of us have a past. All of us have things that we have to deal with. We all do. Like, everyone has a past. Everyone has garbage and stuff that you got to deal with. But are we living there or not? And he's inviting us to, like, let's forget what's happened in the past, okay? Let's face the future. So if this is the past, if you're just looking like this all the time, and if you know a person that's just always living in the past, if you've seen Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, is it? Yeah, and he's just like, man, if I could just go back in time. And he's like, that guy just wants to throw a football. He just wants to be a quarterback. He's like a 45-year-old dude. He's like, dude, you're just staring at the past the whole time. He's like, forget the past, face the future, and focus on God. That's the simple message for all of us right now. There might be, like, and that's something I believe every person can apply to their apply to their lives. Let's forget the past. There are some horrible things in my past. There are some extraordinary things in my past. And when Paul's looking to his past, he's like, hey, I did it all right. I was the number one draft pick and then some. But he's like, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So you can be coming from great success or terrible failure or everything in between, but he's saying, forget it. He's like, let's face the future and let's focus on God. Forget the past, face the future, and focus on God. When we forget the past, as individuals, we can get caught up in it, but as we begin to just, and it might be a moment by moment habit where you just keep turning the past and you have to remind yourself, no, I'm not facing that direction. I'm not facing that direction. We're all creatures of habit. And so you begin to just, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to continue to face the future. God, what do you have in my future today? In the next hour, in the next few hours, in this day, in this week, what future do you have for me? What does God have in our future as a church? I don't know. I don't know specifics, but I'm believing that it's going to be awesome. I really do believe that it's going to be awesome. And so, you know, we do have to acknowledge things in our past. Sometimes we may need to repent of things in our past. We may need to ask for forgiveness. Or there might be things in your past that had nothing to do with your doing, but someone else is doing it, that they hurt you. They hurt you, they abused you, they did something to you that was terrible. You know, you could have a past where it's like I didn't do it, but it was just, I was just in the environment and I got caught up in it or whatever it is. And you may need to express forgiveness to that person or persons or people or whatever the situation may be. And how do we do that? We simply just give it to God. How do we turn from our past? We give it to God. God, I'm facing the future. God, I'm choosing. And this isn't about ignoring. This isn't just like, I'm going to play some nice mental tricks and just ignore things all the time. It's like, no, God, help me to forget this. I can now live in a future. And I have a bright future ahead. So we forget the past. We face the future. Well, what does it look like to face the future? I don't know how it is for you. The younger I was, it seemed naturally the brighter the future was. I don't know if you felt that way. The younger I was, it's like, oh man, I could maybe do this. I could maybe do this. I'd like to do this. And as I get older, the future, I don't want to say it gets dimmer, but it's like reality does set in to a degree. It's like, can I make the Edmonton Oilers anymore? Maybe as like a chaplain or a... Like, I don't know, I could oil Ekholm's beard or something like that. Okay. It's fun to just joke around. But I mean, there's certain realities as you get older that the future can get dimmer. But I believe that God has purpose for every one of our days. And even as a church, you know, for us to just say, oh, well, the past was the best time, and the future, it's just going to be, hopefully it's okay. Is that the mindset that God has for us? I think God wants us to be flourishing as individuals and a church in this community and every area that we touch. That's what God wants for us. And so we face the future with our mindset. We renew our mind every single day. It talks about in Romans. You know, we do have a bright future ahead of us, and we have a big responsibility ahead of us as well. We have been given the greatest treasure on earth, which is Christ, and the forgiveness of our sins. We carry that around in us, and therefore, we're not nasty humans going around. We're actually forgiven beings, right with God, creating rightness all around us. We're taking wrongness and creating rightness. All around us, in our work situations, in our schools, in our families, our sports teams, different places where we find ourselves, that's our responsibility. And so as we face the future, we have a big responsibility to press on, Paul's saying. Hey, let's keep going. If you've ever done a race or a hike or something where you're like, oh my goodness, I'm getting tired, and then you're doing it with somebody else, they're like, hey, you can do this. You can do it. Hey, let's just get up to that point right there. Keep going. It's amazing, and that's the power of the church as well, as we continue to go. And so, you know, we forget the past, we face the future, and then we focus on God. We press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Where should our focus be? On things below or things above? The Bible says on things above. We're responsible for things around us, but our focus is on eternal things. The Bible talks about storing up treasure even in heaven. You know, you might be good at storing up treasure here, but are you storing up treasure in heaven? Do you know how you have a bank account in heaven? We have different rewards in heaven, which that's a whole another topic. But as we focus on God, because you could just say, I'm pressing on, but you could have your own agenda. It's like, let's press on into the things of God. That means we are actually pressing into God daily, regularly. God, I am pressing into you. God, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to just be aware of what you're teaching and training and working in me. And so, you know, and really at the end of the day, it's all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. And so what I wanted to do here is instead of do a response where I just, you know, talk to you, there's a song, we've sang it for a lot of years called Heart of God. And I think it's just a really great song that can posture, if you actually pray and worship these words, it can be a song that positions your heart in a place that says, I want all these things, God. I want to forget my past. I want to face the future, and I want to focus on God. So I'm going to lead us in that song, and we'll be able to stand during that time. And then afterwards, Pastor Monica is just going to come and encourage us at the very end. So we're going to do that now.
Here I stand before you now, as honestly as I know how. Broken by the days gone by, Spirit held my soul to rise. Oh, I try my best, but still I fail. And even then, you're with me there. You remind me I'm a child of God, regardless of the things I've done. Oh, my hope is found in perfect love. Your mercy triumphs over judgment. Love wider than horizons, stronger than all sin. Lord, your kindness leads us to repentance, to the heart of God. Your heart, oh God, is all I want. Oh, they say that it's impossible to ever save a sinner's soul, but my God says to the prodigal, my beloved one, you're welcome home. Oh, your mercy triumphs over judgment. Love wider than horizon, stronger than all sin. Lord, your kindness leads us to repentance, to the heart of God. Your heart, oh God, is all I want. And all to Jesus I surrender. all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust.
Well, why don't you just invite you just to be quiet? Maybe close your eyes and just take a moment in God's presence. Can you just put your hand over your heart even as well? Why don't we just pray this prayer together? Say, Holy Spirit, would you show me anything that's gotten in the way of me fully knowing you? Some of you will see a person's face that you need to forgive, or maybe a person who's become more important, more sought after, more loved than God himself. Maybe there'll be a flash of a memory, like Jer mentioned, from the past that we just keeps coming up over and over again. Maybe it's something we pride ourselves in, an accomplishment. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe it's our spouse. A whole host of other things that have taken a bigger place than what they should have on our heart. Why don't we just pray this together, church? Can we say, Jesus, I want to know you. Just like Paul said, he knew you. God, more than all the accomplishments, more than all the failures and the things that I carry. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to look forward to the future through your eyes and not through my desires, not through my plans, but through your purpose and my place in your body. You know, just with everyone's eyes closed, we're going to pray another prayer together. And you know, I know maybe somebody's watching online or maybe even here in this room where you really don't know Jesus. You don't have this ongoing relationship. You're not following him. And we want to pray this prayer together with you. We want to invite you to pray as well. And it's a prayer. And somebody says, well, can't I just kind of think about it in my heart? Do I just kind of, you know, say, you know, there's something about reminding and being able to look back on a specific point, a specific day, and just say, you know what, this was the day it changed. This was the day I made that decision to go all in with Jesus. This was the day I surrendered all to receive God's all. I mean, what kind of exchange is that? Our surrendering our all is so small compared to what he gives us. But can we pray this prayer together? Say, Jesus, I need you. Thank you for everything you accomplished on the cross, your death to set me free from the power of sin and darkness, and your resurrection so that I could live a new life here and now. God, thank you. I surrender to you. I want to follow you and live on your mission in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for a new start today. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.